Thank you, Dave, and good morning to each one of you. Hope that you're doing well. I was riding down the road the other day, down Randleman Road, going south, and over to my left was a billboard, one of those double billboards. And I'm not the fastest reader in the world, so I don't always get everything, but I got the main point of the billboard. It said, "Secrets to Success, now available in bookstores." I had a phone number, too. I only got 1-800, so I got to go back by, I guess, and get the rest of that. If I want to find out the author's Secrets to Success, they're not going to be secrets much longer because now they're on a billboard on Randleman Road, and so you know where to go get the the book. Secrets to Success. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday morning. And we begin to seek to be reminded in many cases, or to discover in some cases, just how we can be successful in life according to God. Now, everyone wants to be successful in life. The dictionary defines success as the prosperous or favorable outcome of endeavors. And so everything that we put our shoulders to, everything that we put our feet to, everything we put our minds to in life, whether it be parenting or whether it be our employment or whether it be an athletic endeavor or a hobby or health or whatever it is, in everything we do, we desire to be successful. We want to be prosperous. We want the outcome of our endeavor to be favorable. That's understandable. And again, this author, whose picture is on Randleman Road, along with many other authors and many other personalities and many other people all throughout the world, down through history, have had different secrets that they would share with you for success. You know, God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be prosperous. Now, when God desires for your success, and we're going to read about that this morning. And when God speaks of your prosperity, He means something that's oftentimes much different than what the authors may say, some authors, or some personalities, some celebrities even, who may present to you how to be successful. They may be able to tell you how to be successful by their measure of success. But the important thing is to know how successful I am by God's measure of success and God's measure of prosperity, even within the professing church. Today, you can turn on the television, go to the radio, the internet, pick up a book, go into many local fellowships, and unfortunately, you will hear a sermon on being successful. You will hear messages on being prosperous. But they will in no way truly point you toward God's measure of success and prosperity. We were reminded last week how in the Old Testament, where we are, and we're going to be looking at the book of Joshua again, if you want to be turning there, Joshua chapter 1. As we look in the Old Testament, we find that God oftentimes evidenced His blessing upon a person's life in the Old Testament by blessing them in a way that we could say, well, they were successful or they were prosperous materially. Materially. They might have had a lot of flocks. They might have had a lot of herds. They may have had a lot of material things, financially speaking. They may have been healthy. They may have been wealthy. And we would look at that, and many people today would look back at the Old Testament and say, that's what I want. I want God's blessing on my life. I want to be prosperous. I want to be successful. God, do for me like you did for them. But you know, God, though He never changes, and though the way of salvation never changes, God, at different times in history, has worked in different ways in humanity. And we find that while in the Old Testament, we find God oftentimes blessing in material ways, we come to the New Testament and we find something quite different. Not that God doesn't bless materially. Every one of us here this morning has the health to be here, and we thank God for that physical blessing. Every one of us here this morning, we're able to be here and wear clothes that we feel at least comfortable in. We're thankful for that material blessing. We're thankful for the food we eat. We're thankful for the jobs that many of us have. We're thankful for the schools that we have in this country. We can go on and on. We're thankful for many things. And God does give those blessings. But you know, God's focus is not physical, it's not material, it's spiritual. We'll be looking some this morning, as we did last week, at the book of Ephesians. Let me remind you again. In fact, hold your place here in Joshua and go with me to Ephesians. We're going to be looking at both these places. I'm going to borrow a bookmark here from the birthday people. It's not my birthday, and I'll put this back when I finish, but I'm going to borrow it. But you use your bulletin or whatever you need to go back and forth. Look over to Ephesians chapter 1, and we will start here, as we're reminded, in this age in which we live, the age of the New Testament. Again, all Scripture is profitable. It's all beneficial. But we find in the New Testament things opened up for us in a new way that were not. They were pictured in the Old Testament. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And we want God to bless us, but Paul says, I want to bless God. I want to speak well of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak well of Him. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice the past tense. Paul could say, who has blessed us. He's already done it. He's already given us these blessings, but Paul says what I want to emphasize are not the material blessings. We're thankful for them. Paul said, I've learned in whatever circumstance I find myself, whether I have a lot, God's blessing, or whether I don't have much, God's blessing, I've learned to be content. Because what is the standard during all of this? What continues during all of this? What is the stability, whether I'm up or down materially and financially, physically or mentally even, is what we have here in verse 3, spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Now, these spiritual blessings are in the heavenly places in Christ. In the heavenly places. Notice here in the same chapter down in verse, look at verse 19, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul here is praying for the Ephesian believers, good prayer requests that we can have for one another. And he's praying that they might know, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now look down in chapter 2. Chapter 2 in verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see that? So I'm looking at you this morning, and I see you sitting on earth. I see you sitting in a pew in Guilford County, North Carolina. But according to Paul, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been made to sit in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy these spiritual blessings. No, right here while we're on earth, God has said, I have placed you in Christ that you are able to enjoy the spiritual blessings by dwelling not only on earth, but spiritually speaking, at the same time, fellowshipping with God in heaven. So God is saying the blessings are yours. The blessings are yours in Christ. He's made them available. The Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father on high, and the blessings are with Him. And though we're living on this earth, we can enjoy the spiritual blessings. But as we have seen in Joshua, we have to possess them. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Again, I encourage you to hold your place. We may be back to Ephesians. Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to read, as we did last week, the first 9 verses together. We're going to find here the secrets to success and prosperity on the journey of the children of Israel going from Egypt to Canaan. They're getting ready to enter the promised land. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And we saw last week, those first 5 verses, a very simple, straightforward action point for us today, looking back and learning from the Old Testament. If we're going to possess the blessings that God has made available, if we are going to experience and enjoy them, first of all, we've got to get up and go. We've got to get up and go. We can't just sit where we are and expect God to pour the blessings on. They're already there and He's already poured them on. We've got to get up and go and get them, as one brother said to me afterwards, after the message last week. The blessings are ours to lose. They're already there. We already have them. It's up to us. Are we going to step in and take them? Or are we going to let them lie where God has placed them? Get up and go. Now let's pick up at verse 6. For our second of these 2 action points, I need to get up and go. I need to go. I need to move forward spiritually. I need to progress. What's the second point? Be strong and courageous. Pick up at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Wherever thou goest. Now here we are, Joshua, standing across the River Jordan, looking over toward the land of promise, Canaan. We saw last week that Canaan, though often used in Christian songs and in much Christian teaching to represent heaven, actually for the believer represents that experience and enjoyment of the blessings spiritually that God has provided for us in the Lord Jesus, that experience right now. How do we know that? Because as we go into Canaan with the nation of Israel and learn from them, we see that yes, it was a land of great blessing. Yes, it flowed with milk and honey, but there were also battles there. There were battles. They had to fight. They had to fight. God said, I'm going to give you the victory, but you've got to fight. You got to get up and you got to go and you got to be ready to fight. And it's going to take strength and courage. And when we get to heaven, those of us who know Christ as Savior, when we get to heaven, there are not going to be any battles. We're not going to have to worry about that. We're going to be with the Lord, forever with the Lord, enjoying the beauties and the glories of heaven. We've been talking about that some on Wednesday nights when I've spoken. We'll speak on that some more this Wednesday night. Heaven, wonderful place. But we're on earth right now. And God says you can have your Canaan right here. In fact, God says that's where it is, right here on earth, as you dwell on earth, but also spiritually through that fellowship and connection with heaven and the Lord Jesus, you can enjoy and experience these blessings right now. Chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians, we read so much about that wonderful inheritance. Paul in Ephesians 3:8, he says, you know what, I am less than the least of all saints. I'm below any Christian, Paul says. That's how I see myself. He says, but you know what? God has graciously given me the privilege to preach among the Gentiles. Listen to this. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. That doesn't mean, well, hey, you can't find them out, so no need to try. No, that means there's no bottom. You'll never get to the end of finding out the riches that are in the Lord Jesus. And you want to know about true prosperity? You want to know about true success? Far beyond anything this world can offer, far beyond anything the stock market can provide, even in its best of times, far better than any type of endeavor upon this earth for a material crown or a material treasure are the unsearchable riches of Christ. And for the true believer in the Lord Jesus, that should be the heartbeat, that desire to exalt the riches of Christ far better, as Moses did, far better than anything this world has to offer. That's what is available to us if we will get up and go. And if, when we get up and go, we're strong and courageous. You see, that's the problem, isn't it? Some of you this past week, you heard the sermon and you were challenged and encouraged. And you said, I'm going to get up and go. And in fact, maybe you sought to take some steps forward in your spiritual life, in your fellowship with the Lord, in your communion with Him, in your recognition of that need to be obedient and yield yourself fully to Him and focus your attention on those spiritual blessings, on that peace and that hope and that joy and that meaning and that those things in life that come from God, on walking with Him by faith and walking in the light and walking in the truth. And you know what? You said, I'm going to get up and go. And you got up and you started to go and you realized there were some enemies out there. You found out or you were reminded there were some obstacles in the way. It's like when you get all fired up and January 1st, I got my New Year's resolution. I'm going to run every morning. Or I'm going to walk. I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk every day. Or I'm going to go to the gym. And so you get up January the 1st and you're ready to go. And you get up and you go and you open the door and it's 26 degrees. And the wind's blowing. You say, man, that bed was warm. You see, you got up and you went, but you weren't strong and courageous, and you headed back to the bed. It takes strength and it takes courage to take that step and to go out and to keep that resolution and begin to run or begin to walk or go to the gym or whatever it was that you were seeking to do. It doesn't matter if it's athletics or it's military or it's work-related or it's raising children or having a good marriage relationship or doing well in school. It doesn't matter. Whatever you try to do, there are going to be obstacles. And the same thing is true spiritually. As you get up and go, there are going to be hindrances there. There are going to be obstacles there. There are going to be enemies there. And we see that pictured for us beautifully as the nation of Israel is going to go into the land of Canaan, a land that God says, I have given you. And everywhere you step, that's yours. And you enjoy that blessing. I've given it to you, but you got to go there. You got to step there. You got to walk there, and you got to be ready to fight there in the strength that God gives. Three times in these verses, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. That's our second action point. Because once we get up and go, once we make that decision, I am going to walk more closely with the Lord. I am going to seek to enjoy His things more than I enjoy my material blessings. I want to enjoy those spiritual blessings of fellowship with Him, of knowing Him near me, of enjoying His Word, of learning about Him, of focusing on who He is and what He has for me in this life. When I begin to focus on that and take that step, I've got to be strong and courageous or I'm going to be defeated. Three times, be strong and courageous. You see it there in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Strong. Strong. That word really means to be firm, to be committed. It's the thought of holding firmly to something. We might think of a strong resolve. A strong resolve, a commitment to do something. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul says, I don't want you to anymore walk. I don't want you to live your life anymore as the other Gentiles walk. In other words, he's speaking about those who don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. They may be religious. They may be moral. They may be good people. Or they may not be. But he said, I don't want you living like they live. Because they live in the vanity of their minds and the emptiness of a life that is tried to be lived apart from God. That's a waste of a life. A waste of a life. To live for the things of this world or to live in your own strength or to live according to what this world system, this culture says that you should be doing. It's tough to live differently. It's not easy to walk by faith. It's a struggle to walk in the light and to walk in truth. But that's where the enjoyment of the blessing is. If you're satisfied with the material blessings of life, then just go on like you're living. But you're missing out on the greatest blessings of life. Spiritual blessing. That's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. That's God's opinion. You know, it requires commitment, like that of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He made a commitment, a strong resolve. He was strong, and it took strength not only to get up and to go, but to stay the course and continue in and have that victory and enjoy the blessings that come from God. It's not from us. It's not because we're strong. It's because He will be strong through us. It's not of us. I'll look back in Ephesians again if you've still got your place there. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. You're thinking, Mark, I've tried this and I can't do it. We can't do it. But look in chapter 3 and we'll pick up here in verse 14. Another prayer. Chapter 2, Paul's praying for the Ephesians. Chapter 3, Paul's praying for the Ephesians. We need to pray one for another. We need to pray the kind of things for each other that he prays. Spiritual blessings. That's what he wanted for those people. He wanted them to experience that. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He's talking about a spiritual blessing, a spiritual power to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. This isn't some type of willpower that you drum up or pull up from your bootstraps. No, this is something that God gives us as we're in contact with Him in prayer and in His Word, and as we're yielding to Him, confessing our sins, seeking to follow Him in His strength. He says, there's the power you need to go in and enjoy the blessings. It's to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Look down further in chapter 3. Keep on going with the prayer. Verse 20. He's closing up his prayer. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God says, I am working my power in you. You have the ability through Christ, you have the ability by the Spirit of God to go into the land, and I don't care what the obstacles are, what the enemies are, you are able to experience and enjoy those blessings. Be strong and courageous. Be courageous. Be brave. Be bold. The thought of that being strong is to hold firmly to what you believe. Make that commitment and hold on to it. The courage, the courageous part, you think of standing firm. Standing firm and not moving backwards from where you are, but moving forward. Moving forward. Here in chapter 6 of Ephesians, go there. A challenge from Paul. Chapters 1 through 3 talk about our blessings, our inheritance. Chapters 4 through 6 of Ephesians talk about the battles. It's a war. If you're going to enjoy those blessings, you're going to have to go through battles. God will give you the strength. Look at chapter 6 and look down in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He says, if you're going to experience and enjoy the spiritual blessings that God has given to you, that is your inheritance as a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you are saved, if, as we read in chapter 2 of Ephesians verses 8 and 9, if by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, if you have come to God by faith and believe that His Son, the Lord Jesus, died on the cross for you, for your sins, and you believe He is risen again, and you have received by faith that free gift of the Lord Jesus and His salvation on your behalf, the one who shed His blood for your sins, died and rose again. If you have trusted Him as Savior and you've become a new creation in Christ, you've been placed in the heavenly places in Christ and you've been given a wonderful inheritance. There's no bottom to it. The riches are unsearchable. Search. Find everything you can in the Word of God, but you'll never get to the bottom of it. It's too much. And God wants us to enjoy and experience as much of that as we possibly can. It's our inheritance. We've got to walk there. We've got to get up and go. And then we've got to be strong and courageous. We've got to be committed. And we've got to stand firm as we go into the battle. And that strength and that courage will not come from us. It will only come from God as we know Him. It's difficult to possess our spiritual possessions. Why? Because there are obstacles and there are enemies. And the hindrances keep many believers in the Lord Jesus from experiencing their true inheritance here. Maybe most believers. None of us experience it to the extent that we could. God wants us to experience more. No matter how much victory you're having or how much defeat you're experiencing, God wants you to enjoy more of the blessings of His peace in your life, His guidance in your life, the knowledge of His love, how deep and how wide and how long and how strong it is for you, His grace and His mercy, His hope for the future, His meaning. He wants you to enjoy all of that and more. But it's going to take strength and courage. Strength and courage. Now that's going to come as we believe God. How are you going to respond to God? Strength and courage. Strength, first of all, for God's purpose. Go back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at the three places He tells them to be strong and courageous. And first of all, we saw that there in verse 6, He tells Joshua, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. In other words, God had a job for Joshua. Joshua was going to cause these people. He was going to be the leader. He was going to guide them into their inheritance. Now, he couldn't do it all for them. They had to walk. They had to come across. They had to battle. He was going to give them guidance. He had a responsibility in the nation of Israel. He had a job to do. And God says, because of my purpose for you, here's my purpose for you right now, Joshua. And because of this purpose for you, you're going to need to be strong and courageous. And you know what? If you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus, if you've been born again, if you've been forgiven of your sins, if you're on your way to heaven, then you're living the journey of the Christian life. And God has a job for you. Probably has a number of jobs for you. That's His purpose in your life. I'm going to ask you to turn back unless you got it real quickly and you want to flip over to Ephesians chapter 2. I quoted for you verses 8 and 9. Listen to verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God is already prepared in His purposes for you. He's already prepared what He wants for you to do in your journey. Joshua's job affected other people. He wasn't just doing it for himself. No, you're going to cause them to inherit. And you know what? What God has for you, it doesn't just involve you. It's not just about you. God has given you spiritual gifts if you know Christ as Savior. He has given you abilities that you didn't have before you were saved. And He's given you the ability to do things that will build up other Christians, strengthen them, give them courage. That's going to help them experience and enjoy those spiritual blessings, their inheritance. God has a job for you. He's already prepared that for you. And He says, I want you to walk in this. I want you to walk in these good works. Your salvation is not of works. It's a gift. It's not by something you do. It's grace. It's nothing you can brag about. And all these blessings, this inheritance God has provided is for you. And it's not by you. It's by the Lord Jesus. And He said, I want you to have this. Now let me ask you, has God prepared some things for you to do and you're not doing it? Or something that you're not doing in the way that He would have you to do? Is there a role in your life as a spouse, as a parent, as a grandparent, as an employee, as a citizen, as someone in fellowship in the local assembly, as someone who attends here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, Family Bible Hour? Has God prepared some things for you? As someone who has a responsibility at work or lives in a certain neighborhood or community, has God prepared some things for you to do and you're not doing them? He said, if you want to experience the fullness of these blessings and this inheritance, you need to walk forward. You need to be strong and courageous, and that involves being obedient to what God has you to do. And don't forget that it affects other people. Our brother Dick Andrews couldn't be here this morning. He's not feeling well. Brother Dave was sharing about it at the Lord's Supper, end of the Lord's Supper this morning, sharing about his situation. But I saw Dick's oldest son last night. His younger son's married to my sister, but I saw his older son at a wedding. And we were talking, and Chuck, he's a runner. He's run the Boston Marathon. I mean, he's a serious runner. And he was telling me, he said, I want to tell you about the crazy thing I did recently. See, people that run, you know, they do crazy things sometimes. And he said, I ran in this, I can't remember what it's called, I think it was the Blue Ridge Relay. And it's a group of 12 people on a team, and you run a total of, I think it's 208 miles. And so he ran three different legs. The middle leg of his three legs was a 9-mile run through the mountains at 2 a.m. 2 a.m. His team took about 33 hours to do the whole race. So he's running this section. And he said, I'm running down through there. I have to have a little headlight on some back country road up in the mountains, little headlight and a reflective vest. And he's running down through there and he's thinking, Lord, what am I doing out here? But you know what he said? He said, I kept going and I kept running and I ran harder because I didn't want to let my team down. See, it was a relay. And they were counting on him for a certain pace for this leg of the race. And if he didn't make that, he felt like I'm letting the team down. And the Lord told Joshua, Joshua, get up and go and be strong and courageous in the land, because Joshua, you're the one that I'm using to lead these people to their inheritance. You can't give it to them. They've got to earn it. They're going to earn it by walking, by doing in the strength that God has given to them. Again, it's by grace. When I say earn, we earn it by grace, by doing what God has enabled us to do. It's His strength, His power, His inheritance that He's given to us. But He said, Josh, I want you to go in and you are impacting them. And we're all a part of a team, those who know the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, I love that picture of the body, the human body representing the people of God, the body of Christ. All of us, different members in the body, different responsibilities, but we're all important in the sense that God wants to use you doing the works that He's prepared before for you to do, in order not only for you to experience and enjoy the blessings spiritually that He has for you, but that other people too can enjoy the blessings God has for them. So what you do running down that mountain road at 2 a.m. with a headlight on, thinking, what am I doing out here? That's you out there in the battle, going over the Jordan, going into the land, facing the obstacles, facing the enemies, saying, I don't want to let my team down. I care about others. The Lord Jesus said, here's how the world's going to know that you're my follower, because you love each other. You love other believers in the Lord Jesus. You're concerned about them. You want to be involved in helping them to enjoy these spiritual blessings. Therefore, He says, be strong and courageous. Are you ready to be strong and courageous? Not in your own strength. Rather, praying one for another that we might be strengthened with all power in the inner man according to the Spirit of God. You see, God is working in the believer with the same power that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. That's a power that broke through Satan's stronghold of death and raised Jesus Christ from the dead. If there was anybody that the devil ever wanted to keep from being raised again, it was the Lord Jesus. And he couldn't do it, because greater is He that's in you, in the believer, than he that's in the world. God lives within the believer, and He enables us to be strong and courageous. Are you ready to stand? Are you ready to hold firm? God is calling you to do that. There are two other aspects, and we'll look at those in a couple of weeks. As we go on to this thought, be strong and of a good courage. I want to see every one of us in this room know for certain that we're on our way to heaven. If you're not on your way to heaven, you don't have an inheritance. Not one that you want. For all who don't know the Lord Jesus are on their way to a lost eternity, separated from God. God doesn't want you in hell. God doesn't want you in the lake of fire. God desires that you have a relationship with Him, that you be forgiven of your sins. But there's nothing you can do. It's already been done. Jesus Christ took the punishment, paid the penalty, died on the cross for your sins. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you turned from yourself and your own goodness, your own religiosity, your own attempts to be what God wants you to be, or the person that other people think you ought to be? Have you turned to God and said, I can't do it. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I deserve to be separated from you, but I turn to you. I believe on your Son, the Lord Jesus. And He says, if you'll turn, you'll be a new creature in Christ. And He'll put within your heart a desire to honor the Lord Jesus and to know Him and to experience these blessings I'm not saying you're not going to care anymore about being warm and well-fed. You will. And there'll still be the tug of the things of this world. But God said, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And those riches of Christ are unsearchable. Focus there. Go there. If you know Him as Savior, move forward. I'm going to give you about 15 seconds quietly alone with the Lord, and I'll close us in prayer. Father, in the quietness of these few moments, some of us have been reminded that in ourselves we're not strong and courageous, we're weak and fearful. But Lord, I thank You that You look down upon us in Your grace and Your love and Your mercy. And Father, You tell us that You will strengthen us with might in our inner person by Your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank You for everyone here this morning who truly has been saved, who's received the Lord Jesus as Savior. Father, I thank You that the Holy Spirit lives within each one of us who know You personally. And I thank You, Father, for that strength with which You desire to empower us to be strong and courageous, to stand firm, to be committed to following You. Father, to be courageous, to stand up against the enemy and against the obstacles, knowing that it's not us, but it's Christ. Father, I pray that as a result of our time in Your Word, our attention will be turned not to ourselves, but beyond us to the Lord Jesus, there at Your right hand and also living in us. Father, any here this morning that are not saved, please convict them of their sins this moment. May they cry out for forgiveness and mercy. Father, those of us who know You, may our lives be impacted by our time in Your Word. May we be strong and courageous as we get up and go. Father, make us successful, prosperous as You measure that. And we ask these things in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.